And it's good to be in the Lord's house this morning. It's great to see each one of you. No, it's a wonderful time just to get together and worship the Lord. It's a beautiful out to see some of the trees turning. And of course, you know, it's beautiful in the spring whenever the flowers are blooming and the trees are first getting green. God just made it beautiful all the time. And driving over and seeing the cotton fields that haven't been harvested, I just reminded again of Jesus saying, "The field's white unto harvest." It's time to go out and get the harvest. Whether you're a member, a visitor, we're glad that you're here. If you're listening out in the parking lot, we're glad that you're there. If you're listening later on the website, so glad that you've chosen to worship with us today here at Barbie's Grove. The Lord is great and greatly to be praised. We worship Him. Yes. May we pray. Father, as we bow before You today, we thank You for every blessing You've given us. We thank You for caring for us, for loving us. Thank You for the beauty of Your creation. Thank You for all that You've given us. Thank You for each person that's hearing here in the sanctuary, in the parking lot, or on the website. And Lord, I thank You that the same Holy Spirit that's in the building, is out in the parking lot, and is on the website. And Lord, You know our need. You know whether we need saving, whether we need recalling from backsliding, or whether we need direction or guidance or encouragement. Lord, may the Spirit of God speak to us. And Lord, we know You'll do it, and we thank You for it. Out of Your love, may we hear from You. In Jesus' name, amen. A little bit, you know. I learned not to sass my wife.
No, really, she had nothing to do with it. Good morning, everyone. Thank you, Pastor Ed. And yeah, you are hobbling a little bit, but God'll take care of that, we believe. Good morning, everyone. It's so good to see you this morning. We welcome you as a visitor. You are indeed our special guest, and we thank you for coming to be with us this morning. As we normally do each and every Sunday morning, we do have a hymn sing. So if you would please, and again, we are not up to speed yet on all the equipment that's been lost due to the lightning strike. So we're going to ask you to take your hymnals again this morning. Take your hymnals again and turn to page 217. 217, "Oh, How I Love Jesus." Short verses, but a lot of meaning in those short verses. All four verses, please, as we stand together this morning. Again, I have some announcements for you this morning that I want to share with you. The next Sunday will be communion. We'll have communion here next Sunday, so everybody be prepared for that. Pastor Appreciation Month ends next Sunday as well, I believe. I'm right on that, on the timing on that. And so the pastor, I don't mean it the way that sounded. I mean, that means you keep on appreciating him, all right, in November and December, all the way through. But the actual specific month ends for us on November. It's October, okay? So do that, and we'll have a special offering next Sunday on his behalf, okay? We're going to continue on, of course, with the Sunday school arrangements the way they are, the times. And I think you are liking the time as we have the worship at the way we do it at 10. So we're going to continue on with that. I don't see any changes to that unless the deacons and everyone... we don't believe that's going to change. So it stays right where it is. You're used to it. Enjoy it. I believe Miss Ann's in here, but I believe she's going to be coming home next week. I believe I'm hearing that correctly. So if you want to contact her, she'll be home sometime next week. We believe that. And Miss Nell Jackman, there you be sure to contact her as well. It's in the bulletin. These people would enjoy a phone call from us. Are there any announcements that I may have overlooked? Yes.
I need to.
Okay, if you're part of the trunk or treat, please come down and see Jeff right after service today.
We need to thank Eric and them. They got all the candy and everything for us. I don't know where he went.
Okay.
But they got it all.
Wonderful. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
And that's quite a deal this day and time.
Yeah.
Okay, anyone else?
But any that wants to donate, we'll give it away.
Absolutely. You won't have a problem. You won't have any problem giving it away, I assure you. Anyone else?
Let me say something.
Yes.
Some of you know
Larry Coley, who is Bob Coley's nephew. Tonight at Silver Springs at 6, they'll be ordaining him into the ministry. So you're welcome to go if you'd like to go and be a part of that service. If you remember, he helped me preach Bob's funeral, and he's been preaching at different places, and now he's preaching at Baden regularly, so Baden Baptist Church.
Well, that's wonderful.
So they'll be ordaining him tonight at 6 at Silver Springs.
That's wonderful. Well, amen to that. All right. Anyone else? All right, let's go on to our prayer request. I have several that I've added here this morning from hearing your request already. Let's remember Miss Barbara Linker. That's Kenny Linker's sister-in-law. Hey, Kenny, how's she doing? Is she doing about the same?
She's supposed to have surgery this Thursday.
Okay. We also have the family of Mally Lanier, Jeff's mother. Let's remember her, continue her. Let's remember Pastor Ed. And you see Pastor Ed, he's got a problem with his knee. And so let's remember him. He's got a brace on it. But he's got a stool up here today, and he's going to deliver God's word one way or the other. Right, Pastor? We're going to do it. And I thank God for him. A lot of people would have picked up the phone and called and said, I can't walk. And he can barely walk this morning. So you pray for it, Pastor Ed. Let's remember Marie Burris. Marie's pastor shared with me this morning. She's getting ready to move from her place of abode for, I don't know how many years Marie has been where she is now, but they're getting ready to change that over, right, Pastor, some way, to where she is, the area she's in is going to go to, I think, some kind of other usage for the home, and Marie's going to be forced to move. And I believe you said to Trinity?
That's what she thinks.
Yeah, so that's going to be quite a shock to her system. And you know Marie, and we know how long she's been there. So I think Marie is going to need our prayers to be adjusted.
She's going to fight every year to stay there, I think.
Yeah,
yeah. Has to go through a review.
Yeah.
And it's been a struggle the whole time.
Yeah. Well, let's remember Marie. All right. Are there others this morning? Yes, ma'am.
I have an unspoken.
Unspoken. All right. Yes, honey.
My test came back. Okay. I'm still waiting on one, but my other test came back good. It came out, both of my tests came out good. And I'm still waiting on one, and we haven't heard from yet. So they done blood work and stuff again Friday. And I'm still waiting on one of the blood work done. And all the chest X-ray and the CT scan came back good.
Wow, praise the Lord. Now, we're going to consider that a praise report, right, Angela? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Are there others?
Leonard.
I see somebody else had their hand up. Yes, go ahead.
The family of Mary Foreman Mabry. That's one of Ms. Nell Foreman's daughters. A lot of us old ones remember her. She used to come to church here.
Okay, family off. See, Angie, you had your hand up?
Yeah.
Unspoken, okay. Want to be sure I didn't misunderstand you. Okay. Anyone else? All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you for the blessings that you've already given us. And Lord, we just can't thank you enough, Lord, for the health that exhibited in front of me this morning as I look across this room. The folks who've had able to be here this morning to be in the Lord's house, and they prioritize their time enough, Lord, to know that they want to worship today. And we thank you for that. We thank you for a place where they can worship. But now, Lord, we want to go forward and to think of the day's service. Lord, we pray a special blessing upon Pastor Ed as he stands before us today. And Lord, I know he's hurting today. But we pray for him. We pray for him that he will be made whole. And we pray for healing for his body. We pray for Barbara Linker this morning as she will have surgery next week. We pray for her and the hands of the surgeons that will be ministering to her. Jeff's mother, as she is continuing to convalesce, Lord, we pray for her. Give her strength. Give her courage. And then, Lord, we ask a special blessing upon Mary Foreman Mabry family, Lord, who've lost their loved ones. The family of Mally Lanier, we pray for them. And Lord, we praise reports this morning. We praise report for Angela, Lord, and her reports that came back. We thank you for that and many, many thanks. And Lord, we ask and we want to lift up Marie to you today. Lord, we know there's going to be a lot of confusion in her life that's going to come forward with this move that she's going to have to make. We pray, Lord, for understanding. We pray for patience for her. And we pray for good health. Now go forward, we pray, Lord, in the service today. We ask, Lord, that whatever we say and whatever we do, we know, Lord, we do it for you. And then this prayer we make, Lord, in your sweet name, Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, we're going to do something just a little different. We have not done this in a while. We'll do a responsive reading. So I want you to go to 700. 700, it'll be called Mission. 700. Thank you. I will read the first part in the small print and the lighter print, and the darker print will be your part to work with me on. Okay, you may remain seated during this time. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train was filled with the temple, and it stood to the seraphims. And one cried unto the other and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken from the tongs off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth, and said, Lo, this hath touched my lips, and thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and whom will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. And you shall be my witness, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria, and even to the remote part of the earth. Amen. Thank you very much. If you will now, take your hymnals and turn to page 224, I believe that's right. 224. This is a beautiful chorus, Standing on Holy Ground. We're going to repeat it as we, when you go sing it one time, then we'll go back and sing it again. Holy Ground. If you would please stand with me on page 224, Holy Ground.
You know, as we were singing that, it just crossed my mind that none of us were here, but something like 140 years or more ago, a group of people said, This is where we're going to worship the Lord. They consecrated the ground upon which we now worship as holy unto the Lord.
Amen.
And I'm sure that as each building over the years was built, each building was dedicated unto the Lord.
Amen.
Commissioned for His service. It's an awesome thing to think this place is holy unto the Lord. And I pray that we'll never forget that. You know, it's sad to ride down the road and see, and you can tell obviously by the design of the building that it used to be a church. And now the parking lot's full of used cars or something else. Sad. That a place that was once dedicated to the Lord no longer is used for that purpose. Let's strive that this might be a place that is holy unto the Lord until Jesus comes. May that be your desire.
Amen.
You know, nobody, well, I some scientists may know, but I doubt they've ever counted up how many millions of animals, different types of animals, the Lord created. And how many different types of plants God created. There's just a multitude of things God created. And then you think about all the insects. Some of them we don't care much for. You've heard the joke, why didn't Noah kill those two flies whenever he had them on the ark? But he didn't. But all the kind of different insects. All of them unique, all of them different. And one of the most unique and different insects is a butterfly. But how does that butterfly begin? It begins as a caterpillar. Now some of those little furry ones, you know, the ones we used to talk about, the thousand-legged ones, they're kind of cute. But I've seen some green caterpillars that are plumb ugly. There's no other way to describe them, just plumb ugly. You think about the life of a caterpillar. He doesn't go anywhere fast. I mean, if you laid one down here on the floor, he might be out the door by next Sunday. They don't go anywhere fast. They don't have much of a perspective of life, just whatever they can see a little bit off of that tree limb or that bush limb or off the ground where they're on. But you know the story. At some point, that caterpillar spins a cocoon. And he's inside of that cocoon. And after a period of time, he comes out of that cocoon. But he's no longer a caterpillar. He's a beautiful butterfly. It's just awesome what the Lord does in transforming that ugly little crawly thing into a beautiful butterfly. Now you think about the life of a butterfly. Zip, 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 you know. You got to have a big old net if you want to catch one. I mean, trying to catch one with your hand would be problematic. And you think about that butterfly, he sees life from a whole different perspective as he flies around the area. You think about the fact that now that butterfly can go to certain flowers and enjoy the flavor of those flowers. Just amazing how different it is between that old caterpillar and that beautiful butterfly. Marvelous thing is that God does that with people. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, what? He is a new creation. And some translations and new create creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. God does a transformation that changes everything. He takes a sinner and he turns him into a saint. That doesn't mean that they're perfect, because if you write, if you read like 1 Corinthians, as Paul is addressing, he said to the saints that are at Corinth, and then you read through the book and you see there were times they didn't act anything at all saintly. But Paul calls them saints because God had transformed their lives. God takes those who do evil and transforms those into do good. God takes people who are unrighteous and turns them into righteous. Unholy turns them into holy. God takes those who love and follow the devil and turns them into people that love Jesus. It's a marvelous, remarkable translation. Transformation that God makes with individuals. Now, two of the most famous in the Bible we want to look at. Turn with me to the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John, verse 18, or chapter 18. Gospel of John, chapter 18. And let's read verses 16 and 17. Then Peter stood at the door without. Then went out that other disciple, which was known unto the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door, and brought in Peter. Then saith the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, art not thou one of this man's disciples? He saith, I am not. Then look at verse 25. And Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. They said therefore unto him, art not thou also one of his disciples? He denied it and said, I am not. Verse 26. One of the servants of the high priest, being his kinsman, whose ear Peter cut off, saith, did not I see thee in the garden with him? Peter then denied again, and immediately the cock crew, or the rooster crowed. Now, what do you have here? Picture of a coward. A coward. Three times, Peter said, I don't know that Jesus you guys got on trial. You'd think he could have at least said, I heard him preach a few times. I was in the congregation when he healed a time or two. Some way or another, he healed Peter's mother-in-law. He could have acknowledged that. He could have said something. But every time he says, I don't know the man. In one scripture it says he cursed. I don't know him. Here you have the picture of a coward. Now turn over the book of Acts. Chapter 2, verse 14. But Peter, standing up with 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, you men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. Okay, Peter stands up and there's a tremendous crowd. Now let's go to verse 22. You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved to God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourself also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you've taken by wicked hands, have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. Amazing. Just a few weeks later, This coward has been transformed into a man of courage. And we know that 3,000 people got saved that day, so we don't know if the crowd was 4, 5, 6, 7, 10,000. It was a big group of people. And Peter, in a sense, pointed his finger and says, "You guys crucified him. You guys are responsible for his death. It's on your head." Now he's been transformed from a coward to a man of courage. Now flip over probably a page or two pages in your Bible to Acts 4. Verse 7. "And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, 'By what power or by what name have you done this?' Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, 'You rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to this impotent man, by what means he's made whole,'" that's when they had healed the man at the gate of the temple, "'be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which is set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby you can be saved.'" Well, they didn't like that. And so they told him, "You shut up, don't talk about Jesus anymore." Well, look at verse 18 of chapter 4. "And they called them and commanded them not to speak in all in the name of, or teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, 'Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard.'" You've got a man who's a coward, who denies that he's ever met Jesus. And now he's standing up and he's pointing his finger in their face and said, "You crucified him. God raised him from the dead. He's the only way to be saved." And when told to shut up talking about Jesus, they said, "We're not going to listen to you guys. We know what happened. We know what God has done for us. And we're going to broadcast the name of Jesus." Now that's transformation. That's something only God can do. It wasn't that Peter had sort of gritted his teeth and got his willpower together and decided to do this. God had transformed Peter's heart. And because God had transformed Peter's heart, he made a difference. Now let's turn over to the book of Acts chapter 9. Verse 1, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined around about him a light from heaven. He fell to the earth, heard a voice saying unto him, 'Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?' And he said unto thee, 'Who art thou, Lord?' And the Lord said, 'I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest.'" Now here's a man. He hates Christians. He's doing his best to kill Christians, to put them in jail. He's even traveling across to another country. Damascus was not in Israel. Damascus was in another country. He's traveling to another country to arrest anybody and drag them back to Jerusalem and either have them killed or put them in prison. Anybody that believed in Jesus. But now look at verse 22. "And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogue that he is the Son of God. And all that heard him were amazed and said, is not this he that destroyed them, which is on the name of Jesus, and come hither for that intent that he might bring them bound unto the chief priest? But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is the very Christ. Now that's transformation. Here's a man, hates Christians, and in just a few days, he's preaching Jesus in such a powerful way that nobody can withstand his preaching. They can't prove him wrong. He's so powerful that they're amazed. They said, now wait a minute. Isn't this the guy that wanted to destroy Christians? And now he's preaching Jesus. That's an astounding, astounding move. That's a transformation. What did 2 Corinthians tell us? If any man's in Christ, he's a new creation. He's a whole new creature. He's a totally different person. Well, that didn't just happen in the Bible. I think at some time or other, most everybody here has heard the story of John Newton. He captained slave trading ships. He was a drunk, a womanizer, and several other ugly things that we won't mention. And he got saved. And God called him to preach. And his most famous song is Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. And you remember what the next phrase is? That saved a wretch like me. John Newton didn't say God saved a pretty good guy like me. He didn't say God saved a nice fellow like me. He said, I was a wretch. I was terrible. I was awful. I was the lowest of the low, the sinfulest of the sinful. I was a wretch. But amazing grace, God's grace, transformed me. Remember the song, At the Cross? There's a phrase in there that says, would he devote that sacred head for sinners such as I? At least that's the way it's in the hymn book now. Anybody remember how we sang it 50 years ago? Such a worm. Such a worm as I. Would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? Well, somebody didn't like being called a worm, so they changed it to sinner. But whoever originally wrote that, and I didn't go back and check it out, whoever originally wrote that realized that they were a caterpillar that God had changed into a butterfly. They realized how sinful they were, how away from God they were, and God changed them. Some of you older folks, I won't point fingers, or maybe some of the younger ones, and if you haven't read these books, you ought to. Crossing the Switchblade, Run Baby Run, about Nicky Cruz, and Billy Graham's association made a movie about called The Crossing the Switchblade. It's about Nicky Cruz, who was a notorious gang leader in the streets of New York. I mean, his gang was the worst of the worst, the most violent, the most evil gang in the streets of Harlem and New York. And God called a preacher named Dave Wilkerson to go up there and began to minister to those folks. And Nicky Cruz got saved. And he became a man of God, a servant of God. If somebody had told you earlier, Nicky Cruz is going to become a child of God, it'd be just like saying, Paul's going to become a preacher. But God did a transformation in Nicky Cruz's life. And if you've heard of Teen Challenge, people getting over drug addiction, that came out of what happened there in New York. If you haven't read those books, go back and read them. Amazing how God transforms. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. If any man is Christ, he's a new creature. And I like the last half of that verse. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You just see things different. It's like that butterfly that can go and see and enjoy things that that little worm never will enjoy. Has a perspective that that little worm will never have. Because old things have passed away and new things have come. My flesh wants to use the word stupid, but I won't. But from time to time, I will read or hear some statement, and I'm thinking, where did you get such an idea? How can you believe such a thought? How can you project such a program or a plan? Where's your brain? But I realize I see it with transformed eyes. You see it with transformed eyes. And if their eyes have not been transformed by the power of God, they just don't get it. They just don't get it. That's what's the difference. Once you are transformed by the power of God, you begin to see things with a new perspective. You begin to view things differently. You begin to view people differently. You go from the devil's kingdom to God's kingdom. You have a different perspective. You have a different hope. You don't go to bed at night worrying about, if I die in my sleep, where am I going to be? I'm going to wake up in heaven. Hallelujah. You know that God, who takes care of the birds of the air and the flowers of the field, he's going to take care of us. We see things totally different. I see things on the news about where people are advocating all kinds of things that are really torturing kids. And I think, how can you do that to an innocent little child? They don't see it like we see it. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. Thank God that there is a God who loves us and who wants to take us and transform us and to make us the children of God. Give us a hope and a home in heaven. Thank God. Thank God. That he so loved you. He so loved you and he so loved me that he wants to change us forever. Praise the Lord for that. Can you imagine the awesome, terrible place hell is going to be? Full of people who were not changed. But can you imagine the glory of heaven? When we look into the face of our brothers and our sisters and our fellow church members, our friends, and we see the glory of Jesus. Oh, what a difference. Oh, what a difference. If God can create a worm that can become a butterfly, He can take any one of us and turn us into a beautiful child of God. And I thank Him for it. Let's bow our heads for a moment. Have you ever received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? If you've never done that, right now would you say, Lord Jesus, I'm lost. Lord, I need to be transformed by the power of God. But Lord Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross for me. I believe that the Father raised you from the dead. And with my mouth, I now confess you as my Lord and my Savior. If you'll do that, whether you're here in the building, whether you're in the parking lot, or whether you're listening on the website, if you'll make that confession of faith in Jesus, He will transform you. He will begin a transforming work in your life that will make such a difference that you'll be amazed at what God is doing in you. Most of you here listening are already believers. Would you just thank God that you're not like you used to be? Thank God that you're not still crawling around like a little worm, that you're a beautiful butterfly. You say, Ed, I don't feel like a butterfly. God's in the process of transforming you. And the more you can cooperate with Him, the more beautiful, more Christ-like, more loving you become. Just thank God for doing that. Thank God that you see from a higher, broader perspective. Thank God that you can enjoy so many wonderful things you've never enjoyed before because of Jesus. Oh, Father, we love you, we praise you, we worship you, we magnify you. Thank you that you came to us as we were. But thank God that you change us into beautiful creation. And Lord, thank God you transformed us from the devil's kingdom to your kingdom. Thank God for the hope that we have in this life and the hope for eternity in heaven. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now may the Lord bless. But before I do that, if there's anyone that here in this building that needs to receive Jesus Christ, would you just share that with me or with one of the other members? If you're listening, you need to call me or you need to call another godly Christian. They can lead you into salvation. Don't put it off. Don't delay it. Now may the Lord bless you, the Lord keep you, the Lord make His face to shine upon you. May He be gracious to you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen.